You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Are you wasting time? Tonight, I'm exposing the four biggest time suckers that we all deal with, and how you can minimize the suck. You know, it's about everything. Time sucking involves on every level with relationships, personal issues, work, what have you. Sucks time. And tonight I really want to expose those certain situations for what they are so that you can begin to minimize that and get your life back. You know, I often find that one of the things we do as human beings, and it's kind of funny because I think a lot of us do it. Some of you, okay, go, I'm way past that, Ashley. I'm way past that. God bless your heart, Ashley. But if you are not way past it and you've been dealing with it too, is the time that we exert to try to fit in with a crowd. The time that we exert to try to fit in with people that we're probably not going to really fit in with. And I know all of us have been there before. We've all been there before. We're trying to get in where we don't fit in instead of getting in where we do fit in. And it's like we're trying to deal with people that we don't really have anything in common. You know, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you have things in common with people immediately. It's like effervescent. Like, it just happens. You go, man, I can't believe we got along with them so well. I mean, we just clicked. You know, or I feel like so-and-so is my long-lost brother or sister or whatever it might be. But you out there, you know who I'm talking about. You know, I've been there before where I'm trying to get in where I don't fit in, dealing with trying to be friends with, you know, maybe perhaps what like people consider shallow people, uninterested people in what we're doing. And it's like we're trying to fit in with people that we don't even need to try to fit in with, right? It's like, where are we mentally for trying to not only expose ourselves to this situation and this pain and this agony, but the biggest thing is just wasting the time trying to fit in. And I think we all have to go down that path at one time or another. We all have to kind of feel those pains and grow and move past that. But in reality, I think some of us can learn that in maybe a one setting, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Some of us got to keep going back for more. And that's what I kind of find interesting, because it goes back to the need to be liked and loved by everybody. Okay, so think about it. We're not just trying to get in where we don't fit in just because we want to do whatever we want to do and raise as much hell as we can. No, it's based on getting in where we don't fit in because we want everybody to love us. If we have that people-pleasing gene, and I've talked about that people-pleasing gene before, it's a human gene. It's a human genetic situation that we feel that we have to be accepted by everybody, understood by everybody, and that we have to, you know, explain ourselves, which to me is a real drag, honestly. I mean, there's some people you got to explain yourself to because you're probably married to them. Or it's your parents or something. And you feel inherently strong about explaining yourself. But when we're trying to get in where we don't fit in, it's like we're kind of barking up the wrong tree. And I wonder how it is. What is the cues that we can take to know that this relationship's going nowhere? And I think if we can begin to analyze those situations and understand that information, we can cut bait and we can move on with our life in a positive way. And I think the same is in business relationships as well. If you're trying to get a deal or trying to make a sale or trying to get in with another company, and you're not getting any sort of positive feedback, you're not receiving what you think you should be receiving, that to me That to me, I mean, you can keep barking up that tree. You can keep making the calls because I think persistence is a good thing. I do believe that persistence is a good thing, and I think that persistence is almost gone from our society. I really do. I think persistence is almost dead. I mean, it's like, I remember I would make a call to a prospective, you know, like business or whatever back in the day, and I would make one call and I'd be like, okay, so I called that company and haven't heard back from them. I don't really know. And I remember this was years and years ago, and I remember I was talking to my dad, and he's like, if you haven't called 12 times and you haven't even made an effort. And I was like, what does that mean? For God's sakes, you're just going to just mess with somebody. I mean, like, eventually that person's going to, like, I don't know, they're going to ban your call or find you and arrest you or something. He's like, no, persistence matters. And I do agree that persistence does matter if you really want something. However, on the other hand, I think there's time when it's time to move on. And I feel that a lot of times in our society, people aren't willing to say no. And they're actually not even willing to take the call to have to feel like they have to say no. So they just avoid your calls. I can't tell you how many clients come into my office and tell me that people just don't respond back. No matter the emails, no matter the calls, just absolute no response. And to me, that's really interesting. And I know that y'all probably experienced this too. I'm sure that you have. Think about it. When was the last time that you called your friend, somebody that's not a close friend, but a good enough friend that you've known for a long time? You know, somebody you could call in a pinch, and you just ask them about something. Maybe they were doing some sort of work, and you asked them if maybe they could help you out or whatever, and you never could get in touch with them. Like, they call you one time, they'll never call you back. You can't get in touch with them. They won't email you. They won't text message you back. And the next time you look on Facebook, you realize that they've defriended you on social media. They defriended you on Facebook. I thought we were friends. And it's interesting what people will do to avoid doing anything altogether. It's interesting. It's like people will avoid calls and text and skywriting and stopovers in order to not have to respond in a way that they feel that this person is not going to like. The response being no, or I'm not interested, or I really appreciate it, but it's really not a good time for me right now. And I think that with friends, with relatives, and with business situations, when we try to get in where we're not going to fit in, it's good to have persistence. We learn a lot. You learn a lot from these situations. However, I think that there's time to walk away. And I know some of you who are extremely persistent and with the belief and understanding that people will actually come around, there just comes a time when it's time to stop. And I think that a lot of times this is based on maybe the relationship, perhaps. Perhaps it's based on the values of that person, right? The values that that person has. Or maybe they just don't understand you. They might not understand you. I think we take for granted that everybody understands everything you do, that every intent that you have is completely clear and transparent, and everybody understands everything you do, and that's just not the case. That's just not the case. Everybody has their own unique perspective, and everybody sees the world based on past situations, previous situations, experiences, both good and bad, right? We all see the world based on things that have happened to us in our past. And somebody else could have been born on the same day, lived in the same neighborhood, went to the same high school, got the same degree as you did in college, and you too, based on your past experiences, are probably two totally different people. You have a few things similar. You grew up in the same area, which takes a little bit of difference out. You went to the same school. You got something going on right there. But when it comes to your experiences and what's going on in your life, two totally different things. I one time had two sisters that came in for, well, not couples therapy, but essentially group therapy to discuss their childhood and to overcome some issues. And one of the sisters felt like she was completely discriminated against, that everybody in the family was always constantly putting her down, being mean. And she said she had the absolute worst child life. She had the worst life as a child. And I remember her sister looking at her going, where did you live? Where did you grow up? We were in the same home. We lived in the room right next door, on the same floor, with the same parents. And you moved out of the house 1 year before me. How was your childhood awful? And I feel that mine was wonderful. And that's always an interesting state of affairs because, you know, it's all about the way we interpret things. But our experiences are different, and the way we see those experiences are also interpreted different as well. So I think it's funny that when we're trying to get in where we don't fit in, we waste a lot of time. We waste precious time that we could meet people that we have things in common, that we can learn from, and that really appreciate us as individuals, right? Because it's interesting, because when we're trying to get in where we don't fit in, it says a little bit about us. Because I feel that I'm a pretty good person and I deserve to be loved and respected. And I give love and I respect too. It's a two-way street, right? And so with that in mind, if you really care about yourself, you realize that it's not about getting in where you don't fit in. It's about finding people that understand you and you get them, and it's an even street there. So when we return, I'll be talking more about the four biggest time suckers that we all deal with. And again, how to minimize the suck, because it's all about that, because life is short and we don't have time to waste. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time and, well, you know it, back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm talking about wasting time. I know I waste time, you're probably wasting time, and I'm talking about the four biggest time suckers that we deal with, and how to minimize the suck tonight on Perspectives, because it's all about making the most of your time. And the reason why I brought up this subject is that I realized that more important then money is really time. And I started realizing that our health and our time are the most important things. If you break it down, and we don't have enough time to break it down right now, but I'll break this down on another show. When you break it down and you begin to realize what really matters, you realize that your time and your health are the two most important things that you can have. And often we don't realize the amount of time that we waste doing things that we don't need to be doing. And we usually, it's not like we're just doing it, just be doing it. We're doing it because of a need or a want or a desire to fit in, to be loved by everybody, to people please, to be a people pleaser. We do it for various reasons, but we've got to realize and recognize. And I'm not saying that you're going to stop wasting all your time tonight. After you listen to this show, you're not going to be like, oh my God, Ashley put the stars and the moon in the sky. And because of that, I'm never going to waste another drop of my time. Well, you know what? You are, and I am too. But we can actually recognize when we're doing it. And better yet, we can recognize it and we can understand why. Because that is knowledge. That becomes wisdom. We get the knowledge to realize where we're wasting our time at and who we're wasting it with and why we're wasting it. What's the internal subconscious reason or conscious reason why we keep doing this? And then better yet, as we get in these situations in the future, all of a sudden they become more easier to pinpoint. And so instead of wasting 5 months trying to fit in with a certain crowd, you figure out that you're doing the same thing in 1 month. And then the next time it happens, you realize it in 2.5 weeks. And then the next time it happens, you realize it in 5 days. And then the next time you realize it on your first 10 minutes of meeting, and you go, well, it was really awesome meeting you. Have a great day, have a great life, and God bless you. And you walk on. Because you realize it's not going to work for y'all. But the good thing is, you've wasted very little time. You know, the second thing that I think we waste a lot of time with, and this is just one of those things, my God. And I hear it often because, you know, I am a therapist. That's my background to you. And I'm also a life coach. You know, I work with people. I call myself the Live Your True Life Coach, the LYTL coach. And the reason why I say that is that I think a lot of times we don't get to the heart of the matter sometimes in certain situations. Like, we don't know exactly why we do what we do. And one of the biggest time wasters that we have in the human condition is our deepest desire and need to be completely understood at all times and to explain ourselves to every person that has a question. I don't know about you, but I've done this before where somebody asks you a question and you start explaining and then you just keep on going. It's like you have diarrhea of the mouth, like you don't know when to shut up. And then like later on, you're thinking, why in the hell did I sit there and freak out and tell this person all this information when I don't even really know them? And why was I even explaining myself? And it goes back to being understood. I think one of the most difficult things we as humans can deal with in our life is being misunderstood. I mean, think about it. The last few times in my life when I was misunderstood, I was able to kind of like break it down and explain it in a really quick process. But I remember in the past, when I was misunderstood, it would really, really get to me. It would really get to me. It's like I couldn't explain myself, or it's like I felt like I had to. And I think it's interesting, like, for example, when you go out on a date, and I see this with folks going out on dates, and it's like their first or second date, and you can hear them at the other table. It's like they got to tell the other person their entire life. And it's like some of that stuff never needs to be talked about, okay? But some of that stuff just needs to wait. Some of that stuff needs to wait. It's like you got to tell them everything. Explain your whole life story when it's not needed. One good rule of thumb when you're talking with people and you're explaining yourself or giving information about yourself is that when you're having to rush through the words and try to push it into a conversation very quickly, you don't need to be doing it. Anything that's a little out of sorts, the timing's off, it kind of feels a little weird doing it. And you kind of feel like you have to put all this stuff in the conversation. You got to tell them, oh my God, I forgot to tell you about this when I was 5. Yeah, that's a problem. You don't need to be explaining all that. It's like, you know, it's like you're an auctioneer, right? It's like a live auction. I can't even, come on. I do know a couple of live auctioneers, but I'm not even going to try to be that person right now. But you know what I'm saying? That's what it's like. And when you feel that you're doing that, it's time to just back up. Back up. Take a deep breath and realize you're over-explaining. You're over-explaining yourself. It's way too much that's needed at this time. You know, I think it's also interesting, we as humans, when we love to explain something that happened to us. And it's so important. And I know that there's a lot of things that have happened to me that I find very important. And we try to explain it to someone else. And I'll give you some good examples because these are the best examples that I know that some people will need every explanation in the world to try to grasp what you're telling them. And they're still going to think that you should be in an insane asylum and seek treatment. Okay. They're going to still think that you should seek treatment because they have no idea what you're talking about. Let me explain. No pun intended. You know, okay, so a good example, and I hear this often in my office, is people tell me about a come to Jesus conversation, a spiritual connection, a godly thing, right? So we'll just throw that out there. Bam. That, okay? And they'll tell me about it, and they'll say, you know, I really want to tell somebody, but I told my friend or I told my girlfriend or whoever, and they just think I'm crazy. And I keep trying to explain what happened, and it's like their eyes are like glazed over, and they're looking at me like in that puppy dog look where the face kind of moves left to right real slowly with their eyes kind of looking at you like a bobblehead. And they're like, you know, and eventually they're like, wow, so that really happened, huh? How did that take place, you know? And they're like, and you just keep explaining, and you keep explaining, and you keep explaining, and you keep explaining. And then it's like you're explaining that you're not lying. Like, it goes from having this, whether or not it happened or not, I believe that for the most part, most people have encounters like this, and I believe that's awesome. I think you could probably do it every day, every second of your life, right? But when you're trying to explain something like that to someone who has never maybe opened their eyes to experiencing that or has never experienced it, it can be kind of like not only jarring to that person and possibly a little mind-blowing at the same time. And so instead of you sitting back going, okay, maybe I just blown their mind, dude. Instead of thinking it that way, you're over there thinking, they're totally cross-examining me. Oh, yeah, they think I'm crazy. I got to go in and tell them exactly what really happened. So you sit there and you tell them over and over again. They think you're even crazier. Now they don't even get it anymore because it's never happened to them. Because they don't understand. And I recently had a client come in and it was interesting. They were talking about how they are a good person. How they're a good person. They said, you know, I'm a good person. And I'm happy about being a good person. Like, I love who I am, and I feel good about who I am. And it's like the people around me, like, treat me like crap. And when I try to explain, you know, hey, I mean, I'm a nice person. I take, you know, I do the right thing. And they just look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, well, the thing is that in order to understand who a good person is, I've got to be acting from a position of being a good person. I have to have been a good person or be a good person in order to understand what a good person means. So you're immediately thinking that somebody knows where you're coming from based on the fact of who you are. And the same thing is that come to Jesus conversation. If somebody hasn't had an experience that goes outside of this dimensional level, when you're trying to explain it to them, they're not going to get it. And they're going to ask a bunch of questions. And the questions are going to keep popping up and popping up. And some of them will begin to understand you, while others will actually think that you're absolutely downright crazy, kind of lunatic-y, or maybe needs to go seek some psychiatric treatment. And so I ask you to begin to realize who, and ask yourself, why am I explaining to anybody who I am? Why and who do I find myself explaining myself? Who do I find myself explaining to all the time? Who do I find myself explaining to all the time? Because those people in your life may not be the best people in your life. And a lot of it's about you. It's not just them, okay? You feel the need to constantly explain yourself. And there's something within you that you need to figure out. Why do I need to explain myself? Why do I feel like these people don't understand me? On the flip side, do these people not understand you? And are you trying to get in where you don't fit in? I find that very interesting. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about gossip. Gossip is a very interesting thing. I mean, talking about, you know, getting in where you fit in and finding all that time, getting that time back that we've lost and what we're going to do with that time from here on out. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time. You know it. Back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I've been revealing and exposing the four biggest time suckers that we all deal with and how to minimize the suck. Yeah. We all have a bunch of time suckers in our life. And I know that while you're listening to this show and after the show, you're not going to sit there and just stop all that activity, but you can begin to see it for what it is and begin to catch yourself in a pattern and be able to make changes earlier than you had. So basically, you gain the knowledge of why you what you're doing, why you're doing, use that, compute that, turn it into wisdom, and change it up. And so I was talking right before the break, I was talking about the concept of having to explain yourself. I find myself doing it. I find other people doing it. I find a lot of people over-explaining things, especially when it comes to some sort of mystical thing or some sort of amazing universal experience they had. I'm not going to sit there and explain what those universal experiences are, but I've seen people go through that process, try to explain, and you got people that are ready to have some guys with some white coats pick them up. You know, I've also seen where people are just trying to explain that they're a good person, trying to explain that they have that other person's, well-being in their heart and they care. And the other person thinks they're crazy and that they're lying. And I try to explain the same is that if somebody doesn't really see something within them that you're talking about or have never experienced what you're talking about, they're not going to understand what you're trying to present them. For example, if somebody has never been around good people, doesn't understand who they are, when you're over there saying, hey, I have the best at heart for you, I care about your well-being, I'm there for you, they're going to think that you're rolling game. They're going to think that, you know, they better not turn your back because you're going to stab them because they've never been around anybody like you. They don't understand that. And I implore you at that time to really think about, you can help that person, but are you helping that person because you have an ego that says that you can help that person? Because there's sometimes where you have to sit there and go, you know what? I've tried everything I can. I've tried to be there for that person. That person totally doesn't understand me, really isn't there for me, is really freaked out and stressed out about whatever. But there's a time when you got to cut bait. And in that situation, especially when you're trying to help somebody and they don't understand it and you really genuinely are, one, they really haven't asked for your help, okay? And two, you know, we want to help people all the time, but if you're on the fourth, if you're on the rooftop deck, right? Let's just say there's a townhome and you're sitting on that rooftop deck enjoying the sunset with a sangria. Whatever, fill in the blank for your drink. I don't drink sangria either, but I thought it sounded cute. So you're sitting on the deck with your gin and tonic, hanging out, your Kettle One, I don't know, your champagne. You're standing on the deck with your champagne, talking to some friends. And what happens? The more we try to explain ourselves and the more bogged down we get with time wasters in our life and the more bogged down we get with people that don't understand us and we're trying to explain ourselves, you end up getting down to the basement and you have no idea of how to get back up to the deck. Okay? And I'm not saying that you can't help people. I am, but there's a difference between helping people and egotistically believing that you can change people. And I find that a lot of times when we try to explain ourselves, we're explaining ourselves to people please on some accounts. We explain ourselves to be understood because we humans don't like to be misunderstood. And we want to get that understanding out. We want people to get us, to understand us, to feel our joy, to feel our pain, to understand where we're coming from. But sometimes that explanation is not needed. And I want you to begin to realize who in your life are you having to over-explain yourself to? Who in your life are you constantly explaining to? And is that healthy? Is that a burden that you've taken on your own and the self-belief that you're being misunderstood? Is it a situation that you've taken on your own because you were in a troubled marriage before and you're out of the marriage and you're with a new person and you're with your new spouse and you're making sure that they understand you? Perhaps are you taking some of the baggage from the previous marriage or previous relationship into that? Do you understand you? Because I find that explanation is good sometimes, but sometimes it's just too much. And it's interesting how the closer I am to people, the less explanation I offer. And I'm one of those people I'm a big believer in. Hey, if you have to ask me a question or need to ask me a question, but I'm not going to fill the airtime of our communication with a bunch of explanation of who I am, because I would hope that we are close enough that you can understand who I am by just being around me and my actions and the way that I treat other people, my respect level and my love level and my gratitude for life. If you can sit there and see that, then you can understand me from afar. You know, the next thing that I think that we do, one of the biggest time suckers, and, you know, okay, I'm guilty. Guilty is charged here. Others of you are guilty too, I bet. Guilty of being basically in a gossip. Yes, aiding and abetting and gossiping. I have done it myself. I've been there, done that, God willing. I do not have a doctorate in gossiping, though. I did not go that far. Basically, after my bachelor's, I decided that that was enough gossiping and that I needed to move on with my own life. But it took a while to get there. You know, gossiping in a random way is extremely time-consuming. It's so time-consuming that one time when I finally, this was years ago, it's really not that long ago, it was only like 4 years ago. I mean, come on. I'm not sitting there putting, I'm not putting a flower in my bonnet and telling everybody how great I am. What I am saying is this. What I learned is this. Oh my gosh, you're going to die laughing because I bet you've been here before. I remember I got a phone call from a friend of mine and she was very angry about something that had taken place, and somebody had borrowed something of hers and said that they were going to bring it back in 2 days. It was no big deal. Well, you know, 2 days came and went. 2 days came and went. And another 2 days came and went. And she called this person to try to get back this object that they had borrowed. And, basically, this person had borrowed some jewelry and such for a fashion show that she was walking in from a friend of mine that's a jewelry maker. Nice stuff. Really nice stuff. And she borrowed earrings and a couple of necklaces, and she said, I'll bring them back in 2 days. Thank you so much. You know, 2, 4, 6, 8 days passed, nothing. Not only did she not bring it back, right? Not only did she not bring it back, she wouldn't accept any of my friend's calls, wouldn't respond back on text, didn't respond back to emails. Okay, that's our gossip part for this show, okay? For right now. So there I am on the phone, listening to this whole, you know, crap show about how all this stuff's going down. And I felt bad for her. You know, we talked for like, we're talking about this, that, and then she goes, do you know so-and-so? You know, and then all of a sudden she's like, I'm going to call so-and-so and ask them. I'm going to put us all on the call. Let's get on the three-way call and talk. Next thing you know, I look at the clock. It is 2 hours. I have been discussing someone else's jewelry and someone I don't even know for 2 solid hours. Literally, I look down at my desk and nothing's gotten done. And I realize for the first time consciously that what gossip does, it's a wild phenomenon. It's a wild phenomenon. This is what gossip does. Gossip does this. Oh, Mary said this and John said that. And I can't believe them. And, you know, I think they're having an affair. Da 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 da. And I think I heard so-and-so was on Tinder. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what's going on. While that's happening, you've literally been in the game. So you're like a football player in the game with your helmet and your pads on at the 50-yard line, you know, freaking about to snap the ball. And all of a sudden, you're the quarterback. You know, you literally catch the ball, you throw the ball down, and you walk off onto the sidelines and continue your phone call. And you forget that you're in the game of life. You're out there playing. You're out there in it, in the field, in the trenches. But all of a sudden, you're not anymore. You're out on the sidelines looking around, talking. Oh, God, you really think that he did? Oh, God, really? With who? What did she look like? Oh, man, really? See, all of a sudden, you're no longer living your life. You're living someone else's life. You're living someone else's life. It's crazy. And we've all done it before, and it's one of the biggest time suckers known to man. And just taking that time that we use to gossip, stopping the gossip, first off, and taking the time that we use to gossip, our life would be amazing. It would be brilliant. We would have all kinds of time to do other things. And so I ask you to begin to realize and recognize when you begin to go into that gossip, when you begin to go into a conversation, whether it's in person or on the phone or even texting, that's monopolizing your time, taking away from the enjoyment of your life. And honestly, really think about it. Is the gossip creating joy and enjoyment in your life? Probably not. Probably not. I mean, really think about it. I mean, when was the last time they were like, man, my life is so joy-filled because of that gossip? Yes. If it wasn't for the gossip, I would just OD on some pills and call it a day. No, most of the time, it's superfluous. It's the stuff on the side that we don't realize is taking us out of the game and is taking and sucking all this time out of our life. Stay tuned, we're going to be talking about the number fourth biggest time sucker that we have, and a couple of other little extraneous ones that I didn't think were, I don't know, I didn't feel like they had the number possibly, but I think that they can be kind of conjoined in one basket of time suckers. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Oh, wait. Check out the website, ashleyburgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. You can also tweet me at my handle, at Ashley Burgess. And go on Facebook and go to the Ashley Burgess public page and start a conversation as well as Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We're about 74,000 strong on that page and would love to hear your opinion and better yet, your perspective. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back this time. And well, let me think about that. I'll be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been exposing the four biggest time suckers that we all deal with and how to minimize the suck. Right before the break, we were talking about gossiping and how gossiping takes us right off the field of life. It's like we're playing that game, we're playing that football game, and all of a sudden that phone rings or that person starts talking to us, we walk right off the field. We literally walk out of living our own life to talk about how someone else is living theirs. Unbelievable. And you know how many times I've done it? A lot. I sure have. And it wasn't until that one time when I finally realized, man, every time I do this, it's like I walk out of my own life. It's cray cray. Who does that? So right now I want to talk about the last time sucker, and then I want to talk about reminding about the reasons why we have these time suckers in our life. Just so that you remember and you go, oh God, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing it. And that's what this show was about for tonight, because I think that the knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And knowledge and power together becomes wisdom. And that's what we want, and that's what we strive for, and that's what we are going to have, doggone it. Last but not least is anything that takes us out of the moment. Anything that takes us out of the moment, but the caveat is anything that takes us out of the moment that does not need to be done. That does not need to happen. Like, it's not being demanded by a higher source or by your boss or by somebody telling you, you gotta do this now! It's not about that. It's more about something that you do and that I do, and I don't need to be doing it. And these are big time suckers. And I really grouped these three things in that kind of persona, because otherwise, you know, you got a group. I mean, I only got an hour on this show. You know, you tune in any other day during the week and you got a couple hours, but you know, we got an hour right now. So let's go with it. Let's roll with it. So the first thing is to worry. You old worry wart, you. Come on now. You worry wart. I remember my mom used to call me a worry wart. I was like, I'm not a wart and I'm not a worry. I do worry. As a kid, I worried a lot, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. No, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of us do worry a lot about a lot of things that aren't ever going to come to pass. And, you know, sometimes when we worry a lot and think about something, we make something happen. And so one of the things that I find that we have to kind of check ourselves are we worrying about things that really have no bearing on the moment at hand? Are we being OCD about something that we need to kind of step back and put on the shelf and say, okay, right now I am doing this. I'm in the present moment. I refuse to pull myself out of the present moment for a fear-based situation. Based on fear in my mind, created in my mind, I've created this fear. It's amazing. I catch my mind a lot. I really work on really catching the mental standpoint of my mind and knowing where I am and being able to see what thoughts are crawling into my head and what thoughts I'm getting rid of. And I can hear my thoughts. And sometimes these thoughts, I'm like, where did you come from? I'm not even on the same plane physically or in my heart. And so sometimes these thoughts can come in our heads and some of us aren't even listening at all. So we start worrying about something that has no basis and holds no water in reality. You know, the second thing is the constant need, the constant distraction and constant need to check our phones every second. I mean, holy hand grenade, Superman. I mean, I've been there. I know the pain. Where literally you're in the moment and you grab that phone and you check it. Did so-and-so text me back? I mean, I must have texted them over like 37 minutes ago. I mean, really? What kind of game is this? Jerk off. Seriously, I mean, think about it. We go through all these things. Well, I hope somebody's okay. I haven't heard from them in about 2 hours. Hope they're not dead and lying on the road. I always think that we always go to the death, dying, and dismemberment when somebody doesn't return your call. It might just be that they don't have time or they don't want to talk to you. I don't know. But I know that it's probably not death, dying, and dismemberment. I mean, there might be. It's like 1% of the chance. God bless it. God rest their hearts, you know. But, you know, but at the same point in time, it's like we take ourselves out of the moment to see if somebody's texted or called us that's not even there with us. They're not there with us. They're not hanging out with us. They're somewhere else in hyper cyber world. And we're over there worried, has John got my text message? I don't know. Maybe I should text again. I'm going to get out of the moment I'm in and text again. And I don't know about y'all, but the last time I was at a restaurant with a group of people, yes, I did this. I was the culprit. I got my phone out of my purse and I looked down at it and I saw a text that I supposedly at the time thought was very important for me to text back, which it really wasn't. And I texted back and I looked at the table and every single person picked up their phone or got it out of their purse, and it literally took us all off target for like 25 minutes. And I started it. Yeah, I started it. I started the joke, you know, made the whole world laugh. You know what I'm saying? I started it, and maybe it made us all cry. I don't know. But I started that, and I shouldn't have done that. And I got everybody out of the moment. We were having a very cohesive, amazing meeting, and I screwed it up because I had to check my phone. Last but not least, one of the biggest time suckers I've seen across the board is arguing and fighting. Life is too short on this planet at this exact time to argue and fight, right? Seriously. I mean, I don't like fighting. And I know that some people love to fight. And maybe when I was younger, surely. I mean, a good fight, I was up for it. Yeah, you know, a little good road rage too. Yeah. Just kidding. No, not really. But yeah, I mean, you know, fighting is fighting. But there comes a time when arguing and holding grudges just doesn't hold weight. And if anybody's out there holding a grudge, you got to look within yourself and say, why? Why am I holding this? Why am I holding on to this? Because I'll be honest with you, any grudge that I've ever held has held me down. And unfortunately, any grudge that I've held has held me down. And it's done more, probably, it's done more damage to me than it's probably done to the other person, because the other person wasn't even talking to me because we weren't speaking. I was just holding on to the grudge. I'll hold on to this grudge. I'm going to hold on to it because, you know what? They need to know that I'm holding on to this grudge. Well, you know what? Nobody cared. And I just held on to it and I wasted a lot of time and a lot of mental energy thinking about something that didn't matter. So last but not least, let's really quickly go through the reasons for these time suckers in our life. Why do we choose to surround ourselves with time-sucking situations that don't offer us any sort of solace? They don't offer us any peace of mind. They don't advance us in our personal or professional or anything. They don't advance us at all, really. All they do is kind of get in our way. I mean, it's kind of like roadblocks we create for ourselves. Yeah, we're really good at self-sabotage. I know I am. I mean, God, I'm great at it. I mean, anytime that I can get in the way of myself, hell yeah, let's do this. Let's make this happen. Let's make this a reality. Yeah, people do it all the time, right? And it happens because life is like a box of chocolates, right? You never know what you're going to get. So what are the reasons that we do this? What are the reasons why we find ourselves in these time-sucking situations? You know, the first reason is that we are people-pleasers. We have that people-pleasing gene that we believe that we need to people-please everybody and do what's right for everybody and love on everybody and kiss each other's butts and all that stuff. We got to stop doing that. We got to realize it first. And once we realize it, you'll eventually slow down on it. I'm working on it myself. And it's interesting. You know, the second thing is that we all want to be understood. It's like we get scared. If somebody doesn't understand where we're coming from, we get freaked out, we get scared, we get upset, we get angry, we feel like we're lonely, feel like we're the lonely person on that small little island in the middle of nowhere. And sometimes we have to just accept the fact that people might not always understand us. And sometimes we need to kind of look at these relationships and say, you know, is this a relationship where I can grow? Is this a relationship where they can grow? Do we really see eye to eye? And sometimes we have to realize maybe we don't have anything in common. And that can be fine. It just depends on what relationship you have with this person. You know, another reason is that we feel that we need validation. We need acceptance. And I find that one of the biggest things that we as humans want is acceptance and validation. And we don't realize often that we can get it from within ourselves, right? We look for it from other people. And that's why we overanalyze and overexplain to other people who we are in hopes that they love us. Also, we can be bored and looking for anything to do, right? When we're checking that phone or we're doing that gossip, we're involved with the gossip, we're just bored, man. We just want to fill the time. And I think at that point in time, when you catch yourself in that situation, it's time to step back and find a hobby. Check out Live Your True Life Perspectives on iTunes, on Spreaker. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com as well. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in, well, three shakes.